Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Say whatever you want about all the football stats and all the fantasy.
Paul Charchian.
He's a fantasy football genius, okay?
CEO of GuillotineLeagues.com.
Hey, fantasy world, yours truly. You want to talk a little more fantasy football?
It's just a fantasy. Oh, it's not a real thing.
I think it's pretty easy to keep my fantasy football life away from my real life.
Taking your fantasy questions every week.
You know, if you're one of those people like, hey, I got you on my fantasy football team, because I don't care about your fantasy football team. But your fantasy football team probably sucks.
Paul Charchian with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Where the top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Charch joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook and home for our broadcast ahead of Bears and Raiders. Charch, I am sorry to have to begin the regular season edition of these visits with just terrible news out of Baltimore. Not only did Marcus Peters, one of my favorite players in the NFL, suffer what is being described as a significant knee injury, it is feared that Gus Edwards just tore his ACL on back-to-back plays in practice, and they cut short practice in Baltimore. Gus Edwards obviously expected to have a bigger role after the J.K. Dobbins injury. Fantasy implications here are what?
Big time.
Well, not trivial. I mean, this Gus Edwards, you know, if you go back to the first time we talked 3 weeks ago, he was my favorite sleeper of the whole offseason. Then J.K. Dobbins goes down, and I thought he was sitting on potentially a top 10 fantasy season, and now he's out. And so here's where it leaves fantasy owners. It appears he's out. I mean, it's still early, but they're rarely wrong when you get these kind of diagnoses that come up. You know, feared ACL is almost always an ACL. So the order of priority now to capitalize on one of the team that runs the ball more than any other over the last 3 years is rookie Tyson Williams. If he didn't get drafted in your league, he is the very probable starter for a very positive matchup against the Raiders coming up on Sunday night. Then double check to see if anybody dropped Latavius Murray, because this becomes the obvious spot for Latavius Murray to go to now. And I think Murray didn't want to play for backup money, and he refused a pay cut because he wanted to get paid presumably like something close to a starter, and he wanted a starter's opportunity. Well, here it is. And so I think he probably ends up in Baltimore. It's a great chance. And then third, the undead corpse of Le'Veon Bell suddenly becomes relevant. They signed him 2 days ago to the practice squad. They'll elevate him. He'll almost certainly be in uniform for this game. And I don't think there's anything left in that body, but opportunity means more than talent, and he may have an opportunity here.
Well, and are we looking at some of the other running backs that are on the couch maybe coming to a team near you? Todd Gurley is on the couch, right? Adrian Peterson remains on the couch.
Yes. Adrian, there's no doubt Adrian's in great shape, and he actually played pretty well last season for the Lions. And so, you know, he's a plausible guy to return to the NFL at some point. So, you know, maybe you could take a stab on those guys. You know, Gurley looked, I thought, just dreadful last year. So if I were a scouting department that had to scour for a veteran, I'd take Adrian before I'd take Todd Gurley.
We're talking to Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. I'm expecting a ton of points in tonight's game, which means a ton of fantasy viable players. Handicap it for us.
You are correct. The over 52 is the savvy betting play here, but let's talk it through for a minute. Tom Brady is my number one ranked quarterback for the whole week, and I love him here. All three of his wideouts, Evans, Brown, and Godwin, have strongly positive matchups over their cornerback counterparts, Trayvon Diggs, Anthony Brown, Jordan Lewis. Rob Gronkowski is going to rumble through the middle against first-ever NFL start linebacker Micah Parsons. And compounding all that, the Dallas safeties are retreads from other teams. They're a disaster too. So I really like the Tampa passing offense, especially the running game. All bets are off because it's a Bruce Arians running situation. You never know what's going to happen. Leonard Fournette looked dead in the water through the regular season, looked great in the playoffs, but maybe it goes back to Ronald Jones here. Gio Bernard is going to be active. They think they're, by all accounts, they're going to throw to him a bunch. You could just avoid all the runners if you don't want to play that game. On Dallas's side, this is the hardest game of Ezekiel Elliott's entire season. Right here, we'll get it out of the way. The Bucs return 11 NFL starters, 11 defensive starters, to a unit that ranked number one in rushing yards allowed, number one in yards per carry, number one in fantasy points allowed, and number two in rushing touchdowns allowed. And if you think Ezekiel Elliott is so good that that doesn't matter, here are some of the runners who didn't top 39 rushing yards against the Bucs last year. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, twice. Cam Akers, Mike Davis, Aaron Jones, twice. Alvin Kamara, your David Montgomery, Melvin Gordon, Antonio Gibson, none of them topped 39 rushing yards last year against the Bucs.
Hey, Charge, these wide receivers tonight, has CeeDee Lamb overtaken Amari Cooper, and are they both must-starts, and are most wide receivers must-starts against Tampa Bay, figuring that their teams will be behind a lot?
Yes, and you can't run on them. So you can't run on the Bucs. It'll go, the passing offenses are going to get emphasized heavily. I think CeeDee Lamb becomes the go-to receiver on this team, and he's got a great matchup beginning tonight in the slot against Sean Murphy Bunting, who allowed a passer rating of 108 in his coverage last year. That's the easiest exploitable spot. I also like Amari Cooper. I've got a starting grade on him. He'll get a lot of Jamel Dean, who's good, but so is Cooper. And even Gallup has got a starting grade for me, although I don't like him quite as much.
Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com is our guest. Normal conventional fantasy logic is if you use high picks on them, you play them at least early, and then you adjust once the sample of the season gets bigger. I'm wondering, based on maybe a tough matchup in week one, is there a good player that normally would have a starting grade, or a couple examples here, that you'd say, you know what, not this week?
Well, you know, we were just talking about Ezekiel Elliott, who is the primo candidate for that, and he's my number one guy that meets that definition.
Okay.
Somebody that I'm nervous about. But I think we should highlight, in case people have not heard yet, that Austin Eckler's got a hamstring injury, and those are super dangerous. He has been held out of practice today and yesterday. And while there's reports, media reports, that he's going to start, I can't tell you for sure that Austin Eckler is somebody that's going to finish that game. So that worries me. That one in particular worries me a great deal. Jonathan Taylor has got a sneaky tough matchup against the Seahawks defense that gave up the fourth fewest rushing yards to opposing backs last year, to 74 per game. So that's a tough matchup that I don't particularly like either. And then DeAndre Swift for the Lions has got a tough matchup against San Francisco. They held backs to only 3.8 yards per carry last year. So there's some high-profile guys that I think you have to show some caution on.
Church, let me ask you about a few different running back situations and figure out if somebody has risen above the timeshare, okay?
Yeah.
In Arizona, is Chase Edmonds a three-down back, or is James Conner going to steal from him?
James Conner's going to steal from him, and especially at the goal line. So get a load of this. The Arizona runners ran the ball inside the 5-yard line 23 times last year. Chase Edmonds got one carry, and he went backwards. So they clearly didn't trust him in that role, that goal line role last year. I think it's going to be James Conner. He's going to get those goal line carries this year. Now, James Conner looked absolutely cooked at the end of last season. I don't know if I don't know that he brings much to the table anymore, but I still think that's his role. So Chase Edmonds, who is more of a pass catching back and sort of all purpose back, he might be a three down guy, but I don't think he's going to be a pay dirt guy. And that part worries me about his role.
In Denver, I've heard you talk about Javonte Williams. You still feel like he's going to overtake Melvin Gordon eventually? That's the guy to own?
Right. Keyword eventually speaks because he's going to be so much better. I just don't know when it materializes. Now, a couple of days ago, Vic Fangio said they trust Javonte Williams in every situation, in every part of the game. That bodes well. So I'm hoping that sooner than later, they're going to give him like at least 50% of the carries, and then it's going to be game over. Javonte Williams, if any part of what we saw in college translates to the NFL, Javonte Williams is going to be way better than Melvin Gordon, and he's going to outpace him at some point. It'll never turn into like an 80-20 timeshare, but I'd love for it to be like 60-40. That'd be terrific, and that's all we need from Javonte Williams.
And in Miami, where a lot of people think Tua Tagovailoa is going to take the next step, who benefits as a running back? Miles Gaskin? Is Malcolm Brown the guy? Does Salvin Ahmed have a shot?
Miles Gaskin he's gotten almost all of the work with the first team, and so it really looks like he's going to be that rare guy that maybe isn't that great, but just gets a lot of usage and ends up putting together a pretty good fantasy season. A little bit like Mike Davis did last year in relief of Christian McCaffrey, where, you know, not a great talent, but at the end of the day, opportunity is more important than talent in fantasy football, and Miles Gaskin is going to get a lot of work there.
Paul Charchi and GuillotineLeagues.com is our guest. He'll join us Thursdays at 3 throughout the season to help you set your roster for the week ahead. The Bears slot corner situation is a disaster. Dreadful. I'm wondering how high up on your rankings this week Cooper Kupp is.
Cooper Kupp is wide receiver 10. And, you know, honestly,
that's high for a slot guy.
It is high for a slot receiver, and it in theory, it could be higher, but I also got Robert Woods sitting on a gigantic game against Kendall Vildor, so, you know, that seems like, he got him at number 5, and my number 2 quarterback this week, number 3 is Matthew Stafford. So I just see this secondary to me looks really, really troubling, and, you know, Matthew Stafford, the last win the Lions had was week 13 against your Bears. And Matthew Stafford threw for 402 yards and 3 touchdowns as a Lion. And you project what he can do with the talent around him now, and it feels awfully good.
You have Allen Robinson as the 14th ranked wide receiver. Possible that he ends up a top 10 guy this year.
Well, I think it will happen, right? But it's gonna have to happen through the end of the season. So we got to get through this Andy Dalton period, right? And then we got to get through Justin Fields getting a few games, get acclimated to the NFL, and then I think he takes off. You know, I just as I've told this listening audience many times, I think Robinson's roughly one of the 6 best receivers by talent in the NFL, and he's going to have a terrific season. I just don't know how quickly it comes along. And it might be his toughest matchup of the entire year. I'm really nervous about Robinson in this game against, you know, this secondary. This is a very tough spot.
Are there enough balls to go around in Tennessee for Julio Jones and AJ Brown to both be top 15 wideouts?
Yeah, I think there is. And, you know, and by the way, I'll mention AJ Brown might not play in this game. He's got this preseason knee injury that's lingered, and there's a chance he doesn't go here. And honestly, I don't even think they need him to win. But I think there is enough to go around. We think of Tennessee as being all Derrick Henry all the time. But in reality, they're a fairly balanced offense. And even at the stripe where it's like you think, oh, it's all Derrick Henry inside the 5, they were actually right in the middle of the league in terms of run-pass ratio inside the 5. And so they'll throw to both Julio Jones, who was criminally underused as a guaga guy, speaks, criminally underused in the end zone in Atlanta. I'd like to think they're going to reverse that now that he's in Tennessee.
Oh, you know it's football season. Charch is playing along. Guagi, go up and
Guagi,
get
thank
it.
You. Yes. Guagi, yes.
But thank
what
you.
Would they
thank
have been? Go up and get almost
a ball.
Hey. Guagi, go up and get it. Should be a scouting term officially and is certainly a fantasy football skill to measure and espouse about.
Absolutely.
Last thing from me anyway, Charge. biggest week one fantasy storylines that we did not hit on?
I think there's probably a couple things. I want to encourage people to go pick up Jimmy Garoppolo. Rostered on 3% of fantasy leagues, I'm increasingly of the opinion that he's going to be a much longer-term starter than people realize, and he's my number 10 ranked quarterback this week against the Lions. You know, he never, last year, didn't play one game. He didn't play a lot of the season anyway, but never was able to play with Ayuk, Samuel, and Kittle all healthy at the same time, and now you bring on the Lions, obviously a terrible opponent, and I think he's going to hold that job for a while and quietly be rather effective at that.
Thank you, Charge. I'm looking at the rankings here on guillotineleagues.com, and you can get the premium content there as well. And I'm looking forward, hoping to stick around a little longer in our Guillotine League.
You were like week two last year, and it broke my heart.
Whatever.
We gotta keep you around a little bit longer.
I'm going to try to fight. Let's go. Let's go, Aaron Rodgers.
All right, absolutely.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you in a week.
Yep. Thank you, Charge. Happy week one in 30 minutes or so, maybe a little less. Our new pick segment, Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel, will debut. Dave Wannstedt in studio at 4 o'clock. But coming up next, something that if the White Sox do not figure out fast, it absolutely could be the thing that bites them in the playoffs. It reared its ugly head last night. We talk about it next on The Score.
Chafin against Vaughn, 1-2. Struck him out, a slider. Sox comeback falls short. Oakland wins to even the series at 1.
Jason Benetti, Gordon Beckham, who was great on the show yesterday on the call. Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel. Our new wrinkle on picking NFL games debuts in 15 minutes. Dave Wannstedt in studio at 4 o'clock. I was at the Cubs game last night. Spieg said there was something in that Sox game that if they don't fix, it's going to be a problem come October. What was it?
This is an example of the kind of thing that's been slipping through the cracks all year long with this team and continues to be an issue. It's just before Dallas Keuchel leaves the game in the sixth inning, Danny. He's trying to go six. He actually took a step forward, according to him and Ethan Katz last night, but he couldn't get out of the sixth, and after Chad Pinder hit what was ruled a triple down the right field line, Gordon Beckham and Jason Benetti brought up what was an obvious problem.
Shot to right down the line and fair into the corner. Pinder ricochets it deep into that right field corner, and the throw goes rolling around the infield. A second missed cut man tonight and a run as Gomes scores. It's 4-1.
Gets a changeup and goes with it. Pinder did a good job. It's a ball. It's below the zone. He just stays on it and just barely. Look, 1 foot fair down the right field line. Yan Gomes is grinding. He wanted that RBI. Didn't know if he was going. Biggest thing here is we didn't hit the cutoff man, and when you don't do that, bad things happen generally. I'm about to look at the throw right here. Let's see what happened. Just overthrew what it looks like to be Jose, which I'd be interested to know where Cesar was, because there's definitely a play at home plate. You would be lining up to home plate for that double cut. So, not really sure what happened there.
That'll be it for Keuchel.
That last one hurt a little bit. If it curls one more foot foul, he's probably a lot happier with his night.
What do you think happened on that throw into the infield?
We've been trying to figure it out a little bit. I'm not sure. Cesar is not in the cutoff position going towards home. And I'm thinking that he thought there was no play at home plate or wasn't going to be a play at home plate, but I would completely disagree.
It's good stuff from Beckham and Benetti dissecting what was going on. If you're just watching at the game or usually on TV and they don't comment on it, you're thinking, what the hell's wrong with Brian Goodwin, who turns around and throws that one over everybody?
But you mean the king of the bat flip?
Yeah, no, and it was Goodwin, 18. Not Hamilton, it's Goodwin out there.
Makes sense.
Your guy.
Yeah.
But Brian Goodwin turns around and he's expecting to see Cesar Hernandez between him and home plate, because that's where the second baseman goes. There's a specific thing that's supposed to happen on every play. And on this play, when a ball is hit down the right field line and there's a man at first, second baseman goes and gets in between for a cutoff from the right field corner to home plate. The first baseman backs that up, so he is available. The shortstop is over between the right field line and third base, if in case a throw goes to third base, and he's there to cut that off. And maybe if the relay goes over the second baseman and first baseman, that shortstop can come over and be and help bail them out. That's the Derek Jeter play. The famous Derek Jeter play is he runs in there and he cleans up the mess. You're like, where did he come from? He was in the right spot and then just adjusted. So there's a specific thing. Cesar Hernandez didn't do it. He didn't do it. And after the game, Tony La Russa said it's because they had a shift on for the righty Pinder, so Hernandez was a little to the left of second base. That doesn't mean that you just don't bother to do the right thing if there's a possible play at home. It means that Cesar's has to run his ass off to get into position. And he didn't do it, and they've done this too much. And they're 23rd out of 30 in defensive runs saved, Danny. And every once in a while, you get an example of what can bite them in the butt. They might have had a shot for the runner at the plate. Pinder goes to third on the throw, ends up scoring on, was it a grounder? I think it was a little single that Ruiz gave up. So it's two runs that might not have scored if they'd done the right thing.
The White Sox, of all the things, you know, hit for power, starting pitching, relief pitching, like the things that you think about as the foundational blocks of what it takes to have for a team to win in October, defense has been the worst one. Right, of the things you need in October, you know, base running can be a luxury. You know, hitting for average can be a luxury, like contact rate, right? If you hit the ball over the wall enough, you can kind of overcome striking out a lot. But you got to be able to catch the ball. Got to be able to play fundamentally sound. Can't give up extra runs because baseball games in October, you're playing against aces. It's in the cold. You know, a run is more of a premium. The games tend to be lower scoring in the playoffs than they are in the regular season. So undeniably, individual defensive miscue that leads to an extra run is more significant in October than it is in July.
And it's controllable. This is a team defensive miscue that they've done. It's an individual responsibility, without a doubt. But
right,
like,
but it's not a physical mistake.
Correct.
It's a mental error.
It is absolutely a mental error, and it's controllable. It's probably Super Joe McEwing, the former utility infielder. It's got to be his responsibility. Daryl Boston does the outfield. Jerry Nairn does the catchers. Maybe he does the infielders too. But this is – I love this ballet. Like, everybody's got a job to do on a play like that. And if you don't do the right thing, it throws everything off. And again, it looks like Goodwin's mistake. But imagine being an outfielder. You turn around and the guy's not there. You don't know what the hell to do. And you throw it over even Abreu's head because you're not exactly sure what's going on. In that moment of confusion, Goodwin shouldn't have to think. He should know that the cutoff man is where he's supposed to be.
Well, and Cesar Hernandez is a really good defensive player.
That's the reputation. But
he's made some pretty impressive plays, man.
Okay, but defensive run saved. It's the best one we have going right now. He's a -7 on the year. Way, way down the list of second basemen. Way down. In fact, he's lower than Nick Madrigal, who's
-4. Since he's been on the White Sox?
That's a good question. I will try to look
at just... I haven't watched every single inning like Shane and Tanny, but I feel like to my eye, I'm watching a lot of it, and when I see him, I seem to be overall pretty impressed with him defensively. Tanny, do you disagree with that?
No, I think he's been pretty good. There's certainly been some moments like really good and then some moments that not so much. I think, you know, he's a guy that won the Gold Glove last year and his rap this year was, you know, all power production and the efficiency with the glove went down a little bit. But I think by and large, he's cleaned up a lot of that. But, you know, last night, that's a big deal right there. And I think, you know, if Adam Engel was out there, you know, that probably it still would have happened. So it's not a thing where your best defensive lineup not being out there, it doesn't really matter in that situation. But yeah, that's a brain fart. And he had a physical error a couple weeks back that cost them a run. I think it was in the Cubs series. But
yep,
overall, I think he's been pretty good. And I think ultimately you'd rather have him out there than Nick Madrigal, to be honest with you. If we're going to compare the two guys, I think they upgraded defensively at second base.
I think so. I was surprised at the number being that low because of the Gold Glove, because of the reputation, and because of what I think of Madrigal's arm, among other things. But also, the absence of Tim Anderson, hopefully this got pointed out to Cesar last night. Hey, you can't do this. That's your gig. And it's an infield communication thing. I don't know if Leury Garcia said something to him. If Tim Anderson was playing, maybe he would say something to him. But it's an overall team communication thing, as well as the individual responsibility and its coaching. And, man, defensive unity matters in the playoffs in a big, big way.
If I were going to then ask you guys, go around the room, where does White Sox defense rank among concerns for them in October? I would assume, just as I throw a few out there, I would assume behind health for everybody. Health, biggest issue for the White Sox between now and October and in October? Yes?
Yeah, I would say it's behind health and behind the bullpen. The bullpen is still scaring the crap out of me.
And I would agree with you because the bullpen is going to be necessary every single game. Not that defense isn't necessary every single game, but you don't necessarily have tough plays that are going to be made into errors every game. You are going to have to get 9 outs minimum from your bullpen basically every game in October. So I would agree with Shane's top two. Tanny, Speaks?
I look at them, just simply put, can you hit the home run on the road? Like, that's the only, like, if you've got health, and that's not certainly what they have right now, but let's say they're healthy, you know, and you're looking to, you know, open up a postseason series on the road, I wonder, can you score via the long ball on the road? That's like my number one thing right now, because over the course of 162, it's so far, however many it's been, 140 or whatever, I don't recall many nights where they lost specifically because of their defense. And I know it's one of those things where, you know, little things here or there lead to a run here or there. So, you know, you seldom will have a moment where it's like, oh, this guy, you know, overthrew this guy and they lost the game, or, you know, the ball goes under the guy's glove and they lost because of that. But I can't remember many games where it's like, man, defense really let them down tonight.
It's,
you know,
just, it's the most controllable. That's the one. That's what drives you nuts about it, is like it should be controllable. You're right about the home runs, and that's going to matter just about more than anything in the playoffs. It has seemed to be. Danny, for me, it's top of the line starting pitching, and the defense. And I mean, look, the bullpen, it's going to be a matter of usage and La Russa creativity and depending on the right guys. And that part is scary too. But for me, it's top line starting pitching. I need Lynn and Rodon at the very peak of their powers.
I think I just look at this as, you know, here's a team at the back end of a long road trip going out to the West Coast, you know, not making excuses or anything, but sometimes this just happens in baseball. I play like last night, a brain fart right there. Like, you know, this is not something that's characteristic of them. They are not a great defensive team. It's the one thing that makes you believe, can they be actually great? You know, we've talked about them being very good all year, but can they be great? That's one of the things that we've talked about all season long, but ultimately I don't think they'll lose a game or a series because of the defense.
To your point, Speaks, about starting pitching, Tony La Russa announcing earlier this afternoon, Carlos Rodon tomorrow, Lance Lynn Sunday, Lucas Giolito Tuesday.
That is great news with, what, 18 games left on the schedule? Something like that?
Right, so should plenty be able to time. Get at least three starts for all three of them between now and the postseason,
to
gear it up if you want to play it that way.
I think so.
Should be enough time to hopefully get those guys in line and line up your rotation exactly how you want it. Dave wants that in studio at 4 o'clock. Parkins versus Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel. It's a newer type of situation to an NFL football picks segment. I think you'll enjoy it. It's absurd. It's next on The Score.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's time for Parkins versus Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel.
It's something, it's a newer
type of situation. And
so, I'm confused. All right. I've been hearing it like, I feel like just this year.
All right, I'm going to tell you.
The segment where Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel pick NFL games against not only each other, but their own family.
Owen, time to make some football picks.
Just fathers and sons bonding over gambling on football.
Where's my money, Dad?
I left it in there.
What? How could you do that, Daddy? It was my money.
That's bad money. I don't want you to have that money.
Parkins versus Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel on the Parkins and Spiegel Show on 670 The Score.
That's right, my friends. You've heard many ways to do pick segments on sports radio over the years, and this town and nationally. But have you ever seen, heard, or even imagined two sports radio hosts shamelessly pimping out their offspring? How old is Ruben?
9, fourth grade, in week 3, going into week 3 of fourth grade.
He's late to the game. Owen's 19 months old. He can't even string sentences together. He's a toddler.
Owen Parkins, high school bookie. Where did you get your start? Well, it's a funny story.
That's right. So, as something of a, I like to think of myself as a gambling expert, a personality, an aficionado. I've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, we got four levels here. You're the aficionado. You're the big time Sunday morning gambling host.
But he's not good at it.
Well, that's the whole point of the segment, isn't it?
Okay. We'll see.
That's the whole point. That guy. I'm a guy who watches a ton of football, follows football, thinks I know my stuff, and is fairly newish into the gambling game. And then there are our children.
Right. You know how Janice in accounting always wins the office pool come March Madness?
Oh, my God.
Well, let's see here. We're going to be keeping track. Three picks against the spread, our three favorite games. My three, your three,
yeah.
And then Owen and Ruben will be, we will give them the three to pick because, again, they're children. So,
and you recorded Owen. I'm really looking forward to hearing this. Like, Ruben can speak. He's got sentences that he can make and knows a lot of words, learns new words every day. Owen, I don't know where he is on the whole word thing. So, good luck, everybody.
He's verbal, but again, words, not sentences. So, my picks first.
Okay.
Home field advantage seems to be something that teams have figured out with modern offenses, signaling, the technology. It has been decreasing recently, and I know it decreased to a significant level last year with no fans, and fans are back. But I believe for week one that there are significantly better teams on the road as small favorites, and I will be picking all of them to win the game and cover outright. 3 for 3, same theory across the board. Broncos -3 against the Giants. I think the Broncos have a top 10 roster. Giants have a bottom 10 roster. Broncos, the only thing they're lacking is quarterback. Giants are an absolute dumpster fire who I think are going to be in contention for a top 5 pick this year. I like the Broncos -3. Seattle -3 in Indy. I know Carson Wentz is playing. I've got a lot of respect for Chris Ballard and the overall Indianapolis Colts offense system that they run with Frank Reich and Chris Ballard and the system that they have in place as an organization. But Seattle with Russell Wilson and letting Russ cook is going to put up too many points for them this week, especially with Jonathan Taylor at less than 100%. And then Dalvin Cook and the Minnesota Vikings -3 in Cincinnati. It'll take a little bit of time for Joe Burrow to get back under him. I don't think they're going to be able to slow the Vikings rushing attack down. So I think the Vikings are putting up 30 plus in this game. I don't think Cincy can hang with them in a shootout. I like the Vikings -3. So once again, Broncos -3, Seahawks -3, Vikings -3 are my three picks for Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel.
Congrats.
So we should probably go in order, right?
Yeah, well, I think so. I think your spawn comes before me and my spawn now that you have spoken.
That makes sense. So let's hear from 19-month-old. I'm so proud. This is like my proudest moment.
Is this his radio debut, by the way?
His radio debut.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear Owen Parkins make some NFL picks.
Owen, it's time to make some football picks. Cowboys or Bucks?
What do cows say?
Moo. Okay, I guess that means you're picking the Cowboys.
Wow. Wait a minute.
Yeah?
That you're leading the witness. You're leading the gambler here. You asked what cows make. Of course, that's more fun than a buck. He doesn't know what a buck is in any form.
He doesn't. Here's the thing. I did it twice with him, back to back. I said Cowboys, and he heard cow and said moo. So, I don't know. He knows what dinosaurs say.
What do dinosaurs say, Danny?
Roar.
That's what they say.
They roar, Shane. He knows what dinos say, what dogs say, what cats say, and what cows say.
Okay.
That's where we're at on animals. And so he heard cowboys, and so he said moo. So that means he's picking the Cowboys.
All right, so that was the radio debut, was moo for him picking the Cowboys. What was your first word on the air, son? That was it. All right, we got more, Owen?
Yeah, what's his next pick?
Browns or Chiefs? Who do you like, the Browns or the Chiefs? Hey, Owen, what do doggies say? Woof, woof. Okay, I guess that means you're picking the Browns. You're a member of the dog pound.
This is such a scam.
What the hell is this?
This is such a scam.
You're doing terribly at this, Danny.
What do you mean?
You gotta give him an either-or situation. We need to buy you a set of mini helmets, and you can put those out in front and see which one Owen goes for.
Dang.
Something like that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
To do that.
Yeah.
But that would not really have... What is radio?
Uh-huh.
There's no audio component to a child picking up mini helmets. He's not great with either or situations.
Yeah.
Yet he's 19 months old. He knows like 19 total words, okay?
Danny, so, my dog executed this in the video that I'm going to post on social better than Owen is.
We thought about Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel versus Tannehill versus Reardon.
Yeah, but my daughter listens to Waddle and Sylvie.
All right. After this segment, I understand. So Owen's got the Browns plus the points.
Wow.
The Cowboys plus the points. And let's get Owen's third and final pick.
Okay.
Rams or Bears?
Elmo.
Elmo? I know that's your Elmo doll. We can get there in just a second. But can you say, what do Bears say? Woof, woof. Okay, we're very confused
not
here
really.
On this Bears-Rams game. It's tough. What do dinos say?
Rawr.
Okay, good. I guess that sounds kind of like a bear. So you like the Bears, the Cowboys, and the Browns. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what to tell you. The kid said Elmo.
He did say
Bears,
Elmo.
Bears-Rams, he says Elmo.
You know, Elmo should be an option. Can we get that on your Bet Rivers app or via FanDuel? Like Bears, Rams, or Elmo? That might be a more fun watch Sunday night, depending on how Dalton is doing.
I honestly think these are smart picks. He's taking the points. He's taking the dogs. He's got the Bears plus the points, the Browns plus the points, and the Cowboys plus the points tonight. I'm very proud of him. All right, Matt Spiegel.
Oh, God.
Let's see what you got. Three picks against the spread. All Let's go.
My three picks against the spread. I agree with you on Seahawks -2.5 over the Colts. It's Carson Wentz's debut, but he didn't play in the preseason, and I think he's not going to play well. He's going to crap all over himself. And Russell Wilson, home or road, with something to prove coming off that offseason, is going to play well. I like the Seahawks -2.5. The Panthers at home -5.5 over the Jets. A Sam Darnold revenge game at home. I think Matt Rhule very inclined to help him get that done. And rookie quarterback Zach Wilson winning his first ever start on the road? No, I don't think so. So give me the Panthers -5.5. And the Titans only giving 3 to Arizona. Give me Tennessee with that. I think what's going to be an incredibly explosive offense. It won't take much for Ryan Tannehill to torch people this year with all the weapons he has and the threat of Derrick Henry looming everywhere. So I like 3 faves, Seahawks -2.5, Panthers -5.5, Titans -3.
Okay.
And now,
I like it. And to many people on Twitch and the text line pointing out that Owen did, in fact, pick the Bears because he said Elmo and Andy Dalton is a redhead. And Elmo is a redhead.
There you go.
I think that's totally reasonable. All right. From my 19-month-old to your 9-month-old.
9-year-old. 9-year-old.
9 years old. Yeah,
yes.
9 years old. They can either follow or fade all of us here. Ruben Spiegel, his pick number one.
Hey, will you help me with something at work?
Sure.
Okay. The Green Bay Packers or the New Orleans Saints? Do you think the Packers are going to win by 4 points or more, or the Saints are going to lose by 4 points or less? So Packers or Saints, which one do you like?
I think the Saints sounds cool.
The Saints sounds cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're from New Orleans instead of Green Bay. All right, I gave up talking point spreads after that. I realized I should just need to go either or. But he thought the Saints sounded cool, so he's got the Saints over Green Bay.
Saints sounding cool.
Yep.
Reasonable way to pick games.
Totally
absolutely
valid. Go ahead, Rue. Right. Who do you got number two? Here you go. The Cleveland Browns at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Browns or the Chiefs?
I know the Chiefs better, and they're kind of good, so I'll go with the Chiefs.
I think that's smart.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, he knows the Chiefs better.
Too much logic coming from Ruben here.
Well,
Saints
smart,
are cool and the
kid.
Chiefs are good.
Yeah, Saints are cool and Saints sounds cool. Chiefs are good. And then here's pick three. The Bears at the Los Angeles Rams. Chicago Bears are playing in Los Angeles. And you've been to Los Angeles, but you live in Chicago. So which one do you like?
Wait, say the teams one more time.
Chicago Bears and Los Angeles Rams. So a bear versus a ram.
Judging by, like, the actual animals, the Rams would probably win on, like, a mountain or something. But on regular flat land, the bear would probably win.
Mm-hmm. So if I told you the game was being played on a flat land,
then the Bears would win.
Okay. There it is. Good job by you. Thanks for helping. He giggled. He enjoyed himself doing it.
So he thinks that a ram would need the higher ground.
Yes, that a ram,
the bear.
The ram on the mountain range would beat a bear in a fight, but on flat ground, the bear could take care of the ram. Does that logic check out?
Could Sean McVay score more than 3 points on a mountain?
Hard disagree with me on Ruben.
Really?
A bear is going to beat a ram no matter what.
No matter what?
Doesn't matter the geographical setting.
I don't know, but the Rams like the mountains. I think that was wise. Like the Rams, they like the mountains and they could lead with the horns.
Hey, you know where bears live, right?
Where's that?
In the mountains.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Bears live in the mountains,
all right.
Like exclusively.
What do they do in the woods?
Front, my friend.
I always forget what they do in the woods, bears. And if the Pope is Catholic, I mix those
everything.
Things. What do popes do in the woods?
It's always, very confusing. Yeah, it's a newer type of situation. Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel.
What just happened was an unbelievable disaster.
Hey, I don't think so. Not quite. We're going to be rolling, and we're going to measure our picks. Our picks, excuse me. Going to measure those, keep tabs every week.
Yeah.
See who
and eventually
better.
We'll see if a toddler or a 9-year-old is better at picking games against the spread than their professional sports yakking parents. Dave Wanstead in studio next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.